Today is Thursday, April 17th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Sanders has police drag away anti-genocide protesters at Fighting Oligarchy Rally by Jacob Cross. On Monday, during an election campaign-style rally in Nampa, Idaho, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders had two anti-genocide protesters ejected from the event by police for unfurling a banner depicting the Palestinian flag with the phrase "Free Palestine." As the protesters were dragged away by police, thousands in the arena erupted into cheers of "Free Palestine," drowning out Sanders' attempts to quell their anger. For nearly 2 months, tens of thousands of people across the United States have been attending rallies held under the banner of Fighting Oligarchy and headlined by Sanders and Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, member New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The rallies have drawn large crowds not only in major cities, but also in areas that have traditionally supported Republican candidates. After 36,000 people, the largest crowd in Sanders' career, rallied in Los Angeles on April 12th. The following night, another 20,000 people gathered in Salt Lake City, Utah. On April 14th, in Nampa, Idaho, some 12,500 people filled the Ford Idaho Center Arena to capacity. Some 9,000 turned out in Missoula, Montana, Wednesday evening. On April 5th, millions of people took part in mass protests against the Trump administration in over 1,500 cities and towns throughout the United States. The substantial attendance at these rallies and protests expresses the broad and deep opposition within the population to Trump's fascist agenda. Millions of people are outraged over unending genocide and war, attacks on democratic rights, living standards, immigrants, students, and the efforts by the Trump administration to erect a fascist dictatorship. The size and scope of these rallies put to lie Trump's claims that he has a mandate, or that his trampling of the Constitution and Bill of Rights has broad support. The democratic traditions, ideas, and principles that animated and guided the revolutions of 1776 and 1861 through 1865 have not been forgotten and will not be given up without a fight by the working class. However, it is necessary to take stock of the political tendencies claiming to be fighting oligarchy. What role, if any, should Sanders, his protege Ocasio-Cortez, and the Democratic Party play in this struggle? The episode in Nampa, Idaho, helps answer this question. Under conditions in which Israel is systematically exterminating, starving, and ethnically cleansing the entire population of Gaza, Sanders declared at the rally that Israel, quote, has the right to defend itself, unquote. This is not true. The United Nations and the International Court of Justice have repeatedly ruled that the Israeli occupation of Gaza and the West Bank, which it seized during the Six-Day War of 1967, is illegal. Israel has no right of self-defense against a population it illegally occupies and imprisons. As Sanders said these words, two rally attendees dropped a Palestinian flag banner over the giant American flag that was positioned behind the stage. At the sight of the banner, the packed auditorium roared in approval, with many standing and cheering in extended applause. The order was quickly given by Sanders' campaign to have the banner removed. Local police ripped down the banner and detained those who unfurled it. Sanders did not tell the cops to leave the anti-genocide protesters alone, doing nothing to protect them, even as the crowd continued to protest the police assault. Amid growing boos and chants from the crowd, Sanders raised his hands and said, "Shh." This had the opposite effect. Thousands began chanting, "Free Palestine, Free Palestine, Free Palestine," with many raising their fists in solidarity. This episode highlights two critically important political facts. First is the role of Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez. Sanders' response to the censorship and arrest of anti-genocide protesters reveals a politician who is not in any genuine sense oppositional to the oligarchy, genocide, or the Democratic Party. He and Ocasio-Cortez, along with other so-called progressive elements, play a vital role in American politics. Their job is to corral and suffocate growing anti-capitalist and anti-war sentiment within the Democratic Party. Ocasio-Cortez declared last year that Vice President Kamala Harris was working tirelessly for a ceasefire in Gaza as part of an effort to convince young voters to back the party which made the genocide possible, while Sanders claims the fight against oligarchy and war can be waged by voting for Democrats. For the past 18 months, the Democratic Party, in alliance with the Republicans, has armed, funded, and politically backed the genocide in Gaza. In the opening months of the genocide, both Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez vocally opposed a ceasefire in Gaza, with Sanders declaring in November 2023, quote, "I don't know how you can have a ceasefire, a permanent ceasefire, with an organization like Hamas." Ocasio-Cortez publicly backed U.S. arms sales to Israel, declaring, quote, "On the sole principle of Iron Dome and defense, I absolutely think there's an openness for sure," unquote. Both Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez endorsed Biden in 2020, and after he had orchestrated the Gaza genocide, in 2024. As the response of the crowd to the Palestinian banner showed, there is broad support among those attending these rallies, no matter where they are held, for a stop to the genocide and for genuine left-wing politics. Despite what Sanders says, the defense of democratic rights and the living standards of the working class are not separate from the genocide in Gaza. They are interlinked, as the ongoing kidnapping, harassing, and possible deportation of anti-genocide student protesters, such as Mahmoud Khalil, Momodou Tal, Mohsen Madahi, and Rumeysa Ozturk, demonstrate. The second critical point that must be made is the enormous significance of the response of the crowd itself, and how quickly Sanders found himself losing control of the situation. For several minutes, Sanders tried to talk over and quiet down the crowd, to no avail. It was only after the police had taken away both the protesters and after several attempts that Sanders was able to resume his speech. Under conditions in which fascism is being actively cultivated and promoted by large sections of the ruling class, millions of people are undergoing a profound political radicalization. During such periods, figures such as Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez are brought forward by the ruling class to blunt this leftward movement and channel it back into the two-party system and electoral politics. This takes place as Trump is openly defying the courts and disappearing immigrants and citizens alike without due process. It is within this context, when virtually all the previous institutions and organizations that held purchase in the minds of workers, such as the two big business parties, Congress, the corporate media, the Supreme Court, and the trade union apparatus, are increasingly hated and discredited for their role in ushering in Trump's attacks, that Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez are brought forward. Yet, the objective conditions that are drawing masses of people to these rallies will also, in conjunction with the fight for a socialist perspective, drive them far beyond what Sanders is offering and into genuine revolutionary socialist politics, fighting for the expropriation of the billionaires and the transfer of political power to the international working class, to put an end to genocide, inequality, and war. The Socialist Equality Party and its youth movement, the International Youth and Students for Social Equality, or IYSSE, in political solidarity with the International Committee of the Fourth International, or ICFI, are spearheading the international movement against Trump, Musk, and the capitalist system that created them. We urge you to join us in this fight and take up the struggle for socialism. Trump administration threatens to deport 500,000 immigrant workers who entered U.S. legally, by Jane Wise and Jerry White. The brutal assault on immigrant workers by the Trump administration has grown in recent weeks, with hundreds of thousands of workers who entered the United States legally now facing the threat of imminent deportation and the loss of their livelihoods. Earlier this month, letters were sent to hundreds of thousands of immigrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, who are part of a Biden-era program which allowed them to live and work legally in the U.S. for up to 2 years, while seeking legal avenues to remain after the expiration of their humanitarian parole. Workers in factories, warehouses, and other workplaces across the country received emails from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security on April 7th, declaring, quote, "It is time for you to leave the United States. DHS is now exercising its discretion to terminate your parole immediately," end quote. On his first day in office, Trump issued an order to eliminate the program, which the Biden administration established in 2022 and 2023 as part of its own efforts to curb, quote-unquote, illegal immigration. The program covers an estimated 532,000 individuals, including over 110,000 Cubans, 211,000 Haitians, 93,000 Nicaraguans, and 117,000 Venezuelans, who were sponsored by relatives to come to the U.S. and apply for asylum. Last month, the DHS announced it would end the permits on April 24th and remove program participants, quote, "who do not depart the United States before their parole termination date and do not have any lawful basis to remain," unquote, in the U.S. DHS warned it could, quote, "commence enforcement action against any alien at any time, including during the 30-day waiting period created by this notice," end quote. On Monday, a federal judge in Boston, Massachusetts, granted emergency relief to the Haitian Bridge Alliance and other advocacy groups, who filed a lawsuit to stop the administration's action and issued a preliminary injunction halting DHS Secretary Kristi Noem from revoking the parole protections. In a 41-page decision, federal judge Indira Tawani said, quote, "the early termination, without any case-by-case justification, of legal status for non-citizens who have complied with DHS programs and entered the country lawfully, undermines the rule of law," unquote. On Tuesday, the White House press secretary denounced the decision, saying, quote, "another rogue district court judge is trying to block the administration's mass deportation efforts with this latest injunction." She added, quote, "we will continue to focus on deporting as many individuals as we can," unquote. At best, the judge's actions will only temporarily delay the administration, which has repeatedly defied the federal courts and insisted the executive branch's actions to, quote unquote, "defend national security" are beyond judicial review. Nearly 80% of these beneficiaries live in South Florida. However, many of the remainder live in communities across the country, including in Springfield, Ohio, where Haitian migrants were the target of a fascist witch hunt during Trump's election campaign, provoking widespread revulsion from local residents and throughout the country. Large numbers of Cuban migrants have also settled in Louisville, Kentucky, which is home to the giant UPS Global Port, two Ford factories, the GE Appliance Park, and other large employers who have hired those in the CHNV program to address labor shortages. Nearly 200 GE workers received letters earlier this month instructing them to depart the United States by April 24th or face, quote, "adverse immigration consequences," unquote. One Louisville resident who received a letter anonymously told the Courier-Journal that the notices went out regardless of current residency status. The GE Appliance Park, owned by Chinese appliance maker Haider, employs more than 5,000 workers who assemble dishwashers, refrigerators, and other appliances. It has a multinational workforce who reportedly speak 20 different languages, with many immigrants from Latin America, the Middle East, and Africa. The workforce has also repeatedly demonstrated its militancy, forcing the temporary shutdown of the plant in the early days of the pandemic and repeatedly rejecting pro-company deals signed by the International Union of Electrical Workers, Communication Workers of America, that is IUECWA, Local 83761. In December 2024, rank-and-file workers voted by 73% to reject a union-backed sellout agreement, which included starting wages of $18.27. One worker, who voted against the deal, said, quote, "All these tiers and the highest paid haven't seen a significant raise in over two decades," end quote. Trump's witch hunt against immigrants and mass deportations have always been aimed at the working class as a whole. The aim is to divide workers and silence opposition in the same way as the administration's campaign to deport international students opposing the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide has been used to destroy free speech and academic freedom. But opposition in the working class is growing, despite the best efforts of the trade union bureaucracy and the Democratic Party. Aware of the widespread disgust with the anti-immigrant attack, Local 83761 President Dean O'Driscoll and national union officials have issued statements opposing the threats against GE appliance workers. IUECWA President Carl Kennebrew said, quote, "What is happening to our members at Appliance Park is unfolding at workplaces and in communities all across the country. We cannot allow those who are sowing division to win. Blaming immigrants is an age-old trick to create fear and distract us from the takeover of our economy by billionaires." The AFL-CIO has also issued a statement opposing the dismantling of Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, and the CHNV programs, largely from the standpoint of the interests of corporate America. The AFL bureaucrats declared eliminating, quote, "various forms of humanitarian parole will cause severe workforce disruption that risk crippling key industries that rely on immigrant labor, such as construction, hospitality, manufacturing, and food processing. Rather than benefiting the remaining workforce, mass deportations amidst an already tight labor market will shutter businesses, disrupt supply chains, drive up costs for consumers, and put jobs at risk," end quote. In any case, the AFL-CIO did not propose any collective action by workers, and instead declared, quote, "We call on lawmakers to reject this destructive approach and instead return focus to comprehensive reform of our unjust immigration system in ways that center a pathway to citizenship and ensure all workers are able to live and work safely and with dignity," end quote. The Democrats and the union bureaucracy fear a movement of the working class against Trump far more than they do accommodating themselves to the fascist president. Several leading figures, such as United Auto Workers President Sean Fain, Teamsters President Sean O'Brien, and International Longshore Association President Harold Daggett, have already embraced Trump's Make America Great Again national chauvinism and drive to world war. To effectively combat the attacks on immigrant workers and defend democratic rights for all, it is crucial to build and expand rank-and-file committees, not just in workplaces and communities within the U.S., but internationally. These communities can serve as independent organizations of workers, free from the constraints of the nationalist and pro-corporate trade union bureaucracies. The formation of the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, or IWA-RFC, provides a crucial framework for developing this international solidarity and coordination. Only through such an international mobilization of the working class and the development of rank-and-file committees across borders can immigrant workers be effectively protected in a genuine fight for democratic rights against the rising tide of fascism be waged. Trump tariff hikes send global trade into reverse, by Nick Beams. Global trade will go into reverse this year as a result of the tariff war launched by U.S. President Trump, according to a report issued yesterday by the World Trade Organization. The WTO said the outlook for global trade had deteriorated sharply because of the U.S. tariff hikes and the trade policy uncertainty they have created. It estimated there would be a 0.2% contraction for 2025, compared to an increase in trade of 2.9% in 2024. It added that trade growth could have been as much as 2.7% this year had tariffs remained low. The WTO forecasts take into account The 90-day pause Trump announced on the imposition of reciprocal tariffs, which range between 30 to 50% for a number of countries. The contraction may be even more significant than is indicated in the report, which has been issued just 2 weeks after Trump's Liberation Day announcement. This is because of both the fact that the reciprocal tariffs may well go ahead after the pause and the uncertainty generated by the tariff war. The WTO said, quote, "Risks to the forecast include the implementation of the currently suspended reciprocal tariffs by the U.S., as well as a broader spillover of trade policy uncertainty beyond U.S.-linked trade relationships," end quote. It forecasts that if the reciprocal tariffs were enacted, this would bring a further reduction in global trade by 0.6 percentage point. And if trade policy uncertainty spread, this would bring a further reduction of 0.8 percentage point, leading to a, quote, 1.5% decline in world merchandise trade volume in 2025, end quote. With the imposition of a 145% tariff by the U.S. against China, the WTO expects trade between the two countries, the world's number one and number two economies, respectively, to contract by 80 to 90%. WTO Director General Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, who presented the report, said the decoupling of the U.S. and China was a, quote, "phenomenon that is really worrying to me," unquote, and would have, quote, "far-reaching consequences." At this stage, no one can predict exactly what those consequences will be. But such a decoupling between major economies has only ever occurred before in times of war. The WTO warned that, among other things, trade policy uncertainty would, quote, "dampen business confidence, reducing business investment, and thereby impairing economic growth," unquote. In its worst-case scenario, which may well come to pass, the trade body said the global growth rate would fall to just 1.7%. Both the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund consider global growth of less than 2% to be indicative of a recession. As the dangers to global growth spread, the Trump administration has indicated that the U.S. economic war against the world will intensify with the launching of investigations into computer chips, pharmaceuticals, and critical minerals under Section 232 of the 1962 Trade Expansion Act by the Commerce Department. Under that legislation, the Commerce Department prepares a report for the president on whether the importation of a particular item is, quote, "in such quantities or under such circumstances as to threaten or impair the national security." The legislation has been used previously to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum. Now its reach is set to be extended. In two separate filings on Monday, the administration said it was ordering investigations into the national security implications of the importation of computer chips, as well as pharmaceuticals, their ingredients, and derivative products. The probes were initiated by Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick the day before Trump's April 2nd announcement. Both probes are directly linked to the aim for reshoring production to the U.S. to gather together the necessary facilities for war. As Trump commented back in March, quote, "We don't make pharmaceuticals anymore, and if we have problems like wars or anything else, we need steel, we need pharmaceuticals," end quote. The official launching of the probes into computer chips and pharmaceuticals was followed on Tuesday by a Trump executive order to the Commerce Department to devise ways of boosting American production of critical minerals, which are vital for the development of high-tech products, electric motors, and the auto industry. Here again, the emphasis was on war preparation. The order said, quote, "President Trump recognizes that an over-reliance on foreign critical minerals and their derivative products could jeopardize U.S. defense capabilities, infrastructure development, and technological development," unquote. The statement warned that the U.S. was, quote, "heavily dependent on foreign sources, particularly adversarial nations," unquote, and this exposed it to, quote unquote, "economic coercion." The problem it confronts is not the lack of critical minerals within its borders, but that it does not have the industrial capacity to refine and develop them. China has become far and away the world's leading processor, with with the result that even those minerals mined in the U.S. must be sent there. As the U.S. steps up its economic war, China is increasingly hitting back. Having matched the overall U.S. tariff hikes, it is restricting exports of critical minerals and is seeking to expand the retaliation. This week, reports have surfaced that Beijing has told airlines not to place new orders for Boeing jets, and that carriers must gain approval before they take delivery of planes they have previously ordered. Boeing, which has been hit by a quality crisis following the fatal MAX crashes in 2018 and 2019, was only able to resume deliveries to China in the summer of 2024 after China had halted taking its planes. The Chinese market is vital for the aviation industry, with Boeing forecasting it will account for one-fifth of the global market for planes in the next two decades. The importance of the Chinese market and the blows to U.S. corporations from Trump's tariff war and export bans has also surfaced in the area of high tech. Yesterday, NVIDIA, the leading world manufacturer, at least at this point, of the most advanced chips used in the development of artificial intelligence, announced it was taking a $5.5 billion charge to revenue as the result of moves to Trump to clamp down on exports to China of its H20 graphics processing unit. According to a report in the Financial Times, quote, industry insiders believe the hit on NVIDIA's revenue could reach more than $10 billion, unquote. Washington had imposed export controls on the company's most advanced chips, but NVIDIA believed, after discussions with Trump, that the less powerful H20 would not be affected by the ban and told its Chinese buyers so. The surprise news that new export controls were being introduced is a further indication that major U.S. corporations are unable to undertake long-term planning with any degree of certainty. It sent NVIDIA stocks down almost 7%, with the tech-heavy NASDAQ index dropping by more than 3%, while the S&P 500 fell 2.24%. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.